We have got 9:01 a.m. We'll call this regular meeting of the Coryell County Commissioners Court to order at this time, noting that all members of the court are present. For those of you that are here in person, if you've got an electronic device, we'd ask that you place it on silence at this time. And for those that are participating by Zoom, we would ask that you place your device on mute until such time that you need to address the court. We'll begin with a word of prayer. God, we're so thankful to have you in our lives, and we humbly ask that you would forgive us of our sins as we acknowledge that you are the creator of all. Lord, we want to thank you so much for the wonderful event that we had yesterday in showing just how powerful and how great and how insightful that you are. Lord, we would ask that you watch over, guide, and protect us here on earth as we attempt to do the business of serving the people of Coryell County and honoring you in those actions. Lord, we ask that you also be with our first responders as they also attempt to protect us here on earth as you watch over us from heaven. We ask all these things in your son's holy name. Amen. And the pledges to our flags. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Honor the Texas flag. The Texas, one state, under God, one and indivisible. The next item on our agenda is the public forum. Citizens may address the court on any matters concerning any matters other than matters concerning county personnel or matters under litigation. Each citizen will be allocated 5 minutes with a total time not to exceed 30 minutes. Is there anyone here in person that would like to address the court this morning? Not everybody jump up at once. Seeing and hearing none, is there anyone participating by Zoom that would like to address the court this morning? Seeing and hearing none, we'll move on to item number 5, which is the consent agenda, noting that there are 3 items there. The court can wish to approve the consent agenda as it's presented, or it may choose to take any one of those out, consider it individually.
I make a motion to approve A, B, and C of the consent agenda.
Second. We've got a motion to approve the consent agenda from Commissioner Basham, a second from Commissioner Taylor. Any further discussions on item number 5? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye. All those opposed say no. Ayes have it. Motion carries. Item number 6 on the agenda is Road and Bridge Report. Mr. Latham.
Good. For the March, we hit the Marchway 23 over North Borders. We closed out 21, laid an added drop in 4 locations, laid 27 roads. Installed a temporary bypass on the branch road due to bridge getting a bad report. Installed a cattle guard on County Road 96, cleaned ditches at 7 locations. Picked up 9 trees out of the road. Pushed 1 fence row on 355, grade and shake 3 locations. And herbicide weed spray in the edges, did 60 roads during that month. Installed concrete head walls on County Road 273. Patched 23 roads, replaced 1 CMP, trim brush at 6 locations, installed some EnviroTech material on County Road 272 in anticipation of subdivision for dust suppression over there. They only got a typo there. I don't think we, imported, exported material appendix.
Very good. Any questions, comments for Mr. Latham?
Did we get a quick notice to withdraw the application? Mr. Latham, can we talk about that?
Yes.
You might let the court know about that. You might let the court know about that. Okay.
Twin Caverns, the replat, they've withdrawn their applications. They're not pursuing the replat any longer.
Okay.
Just FYI.
That's a pretty big FYI. Yeah. But, thank you for sharing that. But
FYI,
that's
very important information.
Okay. Very good.
To accept the Road and Bridge Report.
Got a motion to accept the Road and Bridge Report from Commissioner Basham.
Second.
Second from Commissioner Matthews. Any further discussion on item number six? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed say no. Ayes have it, motion carries. Item number seven is to consider notice requirements for application to cancel tracts 17 through 21 of the West Moody Farms subdivision. Mr. Mannix, I believe, has provided some information and the correspondence on that.
Yes, Judge. The handout I gave you is just what's in our subdivision regulations. We're bringing this before court to decide whether or not the court decides that it interferes with the rights of persons who own any part of the subdivision. If it does, then we have to post it. So that's what this is about. West Moody Farms, they're wanting to, it's come before the court a couple times about the replat, but they're wanting to know. He owns lot 17 through 21, and he's just wanting to cancel the plat from lot 17 to 21, is what his plans are.
This is in my precinct, precinct three, and my opinion, I think it does for public interest and public property. So that's my stance on it. I make a motion that we West Moody Farm subdivision lots 17 through 21 does affect a public notice or public property and notice should be provided as set in the chapter 10-0D of the Coryell County subdivision regulations.
Second.
We've got a motion and a second to publish the notice. My question, and I'm not, don't get me wrong, it's nothing against the motion. My question is, when we originally did the subdivision, we posted notice because it was having an impact. So now that we are going back and they're canceling that portion, we're giving notice again on a notice that we've already. Is that the, I'm asking if that's the right procedure.
We don't give a notice for besides it appearing on the commissioner's board agenda, there's no notice sent out when a plat is done.
Okay.
And so, yes, I mean, to your point, I think our subdivision regulations need addressed, and specifically the section involving replats and cancellation of plats.
Yes.
Now that we've been through a few, we probably know how it works better than we did when we drafted it and adopted it. So, public interest is not defined, public property is not defined. But there are, like you talked about on Twin Caverns, where public interest is very broad. The public that bought lots in that subdivision had some expectation that the property adjoining them would be under a certain set of rules and requirements that they bought their property under. And if that property is not going to be subject to those rules and requirements anymore, because the plat's being canceled, then does that affect? Well, I'm not willing to say no. So, if I was them, I would feel like it was affecting my interest. Could be adversely affecting my interest. Could be benefiting my interest, depending on my point of view, of course. And some people out there may think it's a good thing, and some people out there may not think it's a good thing, because there will be no orderly development of that property any longer that they had an expectation it would be. So I don't know what public interest means, but either way, we have to post a notice. We either have to post a rudimentary notice that nobody will see, or we have to post those in the paper three times, no sooner than 30 days and no more than 7 days from the date the hearing is going to occur. We have to send a certified letter to each owner in the subdivision. Under the notice that will be presented to Mr. Basham's motion, which we're quite capable of doing, and we will do if that's the court's intentions.
Because there's, what, seven lot owners, eight? It's not very many, right?
I would assume there are 16.
I'm 16, all right, yeah, so 16.
And they're mostly, I mean, I haven't, when I was just down that road, 2 weeks ago or less, and it's pretty much built out. I think, I mean, there's probably a few now that don't have anything built on them, but I think those other 16 are sold out. Because most of them have homes on them, primary residences. So,
by canceling that, doesn't that all your deed restrictions go away? But all those people that were around there,
that's a very interesting question. I would say that the deed restrictions do not go away because deed restrictions are on the property. But I'm not their lawyer, so I'm not going to advise them as to whether they do or don't.
But okay. Well, I appreciate
setback lines, utility easements, all those kinds of things do go away because those are flat lines.
Well, I appreciate you addressing the question for me.
Before we get off that subject, a certified mail return receipt question now costs $8.73, I think. It's just a regular old letter sized envelope. And y'all can do the math, but he sent 67 of those out on Twin Caverns.
Yeah.
And we got a $500 replat fee. So we didn't lose a whole lot of money on that deal, but we probably need to address formula for the fee for replats in the future, because if it's a large subdivision, it doesn't cover the cost of postage. Now, this one, of course, it'll cover the cost of postage 16 times $8.73, plus three notices in paper, which I got a bill for one of them the other day. I tried to stop the train on the last one running, but now probably just about going to break even on the $500 on this one. By the time we pay the three notices in paper, we have 16 certified on the return receipt request and letters. Something y'all think about as we move through this GP program and amending our subdivision regulations.
What? Very good. Okay, so we've got a motion and a second on the floor considering posting notice for the cancellation of those designated tracts for West Moody Farms. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed say no. Ayes have it. Motion carries. Item number 8 on the agenda is update and actions on grants to include, not limited to, those that are listed there. We'll take them from top to bottom. We'll begin with ASS4A. Ms. Jordan, how are you this morning?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm doing pretty well. Your boss man gave me the finger and the nod that you've got this whole thing covered.
I do. So we are working away on getting the plan finished. We will have a copy to Mr. Belt at the end of the day on Monday the 15th. So working hard this week. Last week we had the public meeting, just gave updates on, you know, some projects we're including. Other than that, just working to get it done.
Okay. Very good. And also I still have that sign in sheet from that meeting. So I'll either get that scanned in and sent to you, or I'll get it over to Mr. Manning one way or the other.
Okay. Thank you. We have a picture as well. So,
Okay. All right. No, that's good. That's good. Mr. Bell, anything to add from the CITCOG standpoint? Have you been in contact with them?
No, I haven't talked to them since we had a coordination call with them a while back. We kind of went through the just kind of brainstorm. We needed to coordinate what we needed to do, because obviously they know we're on a different timeline than their own. We had a very good call with them, I thought. That went well. We kind of talked through it all and decided we were on different paths and we were moving forward and everything was good. We wouldn't even come out of it and get some action.
And just to remind the court that, you know, we're trying to meet the deadline or the timeline for an implementation grant application. CITCOG cannot meet that. I mean, this wasn't going to be feasible because they're doing a much larger regional plan, but they are attempting to put together a smaller list of demonstration projects, which is part of, that's one of the categories under the grant funding under the planning fees. So they are trying to put together a limited number of those to get those submitted. And that's going to be pretty quick because I think, it'll be pretty quick. I was going to try to quote some dates, but I'm not going to quote the dates.
We judge, if I could, are you saying that POG's going to try to send some, they are going to try to file something on this cycle?
Yes, because under one pot of it, it's planning and demonstration. And they're going to submit for some demonstration projects. The last meeting that we had with K-Tempo, they had not identified that list specifically. I mean, I think they're targeting about three or four, is my understanding.
Is your understanding they intend to hit these same windows? Are they going to try to get a pre-application review filed by the 17th of April like we are?
They did not mention that. Kim Lee Horn is their vendor on their side for that piece of it. They did not mention this same funding timeline. And that's why I kind of bit my tongue. I wasn't sure if the NOFO that we're operating under is the same NOFO timeline. It's all one. Okay.
Is that right, Council, that you're understanding?
Yes, but I don't remember if the pre-submission deadline applies to the planning and demonstration grants. I didn't look at that issue. I don't know the package.
So, and that's what I was about to say. I just didn't know if it was under the same NOFO. And if it is under the same NOFO, then yes, they understand that those are the date requirements that they have, and they're pushing to try to get three or four into that funding window. With that, something that we do need to kind of talk about a little bit is because we're coming up on receiving our safety action plan. And then that would complete, once we have verified that all aspects and all deliverables, that would complete our contractual agreement with NRS for the safety action plan. And then right on its heels is where we have another agreement with Mr. Manning for the submission of that application. We have already received the invoice for the completion of the safety action plan with the understanding that that payment is what triggers our completion of the obligation so that the application can be submitted. So I've talked with Mr. Belt, I've talked with Mr. Wood. So you will see that invoice in the pay bills with the understanding that when we pay bills, that we're not going to deliver that check. It will remain with the auditor until such time that we have verified that all the deliverables have been received. And then we will deliver payment to NRS. And that triggers Mr. Manning's ability to then submit the application. So if we're talking about the 15th, receiving the safety action plan, we'll get it disseminated as quickly as possible, but we need to do a good thorough review of it. The evening of the 15th, the 16th. And if anyone has any concerns, they need to make those known so that we can potentially, if we've received all the deliverables, that we would execute that payment on the 17th and that application, the pre-submission application would be submitted on the 17th.
Is there a working version of it right now that we can review?
That's a question for him.
Is there a working version, if you'll ask her?
Hannah, did you hear Mr. Matthews' question?
No, I couldn't quite hear it.
Okay. Is there a working version or anything you have at this point that we could start our review process on?
Yeah, I can get something sent over.
Okay.
I can get kind of an outline of projects sent over.
All right, I mean, this is for the action plan, not the application. I want to make sure that I'm clear on that.
Yes.
Okay. All right. Very good. Very good. Thank you.
The pre-submission on the 17th is send them, the way I understand it, it's not necessarily here's our project. Right. What do you think about them? It's here's our safety action plan. Make sure it is going to be okay for us to submit the projects under. We plan on submitting on May 16th for implementation. It's a chance for them to review the safety action plan. Make sure that it qualifies for funding for the implementation of the projects that are listed in it. Then we'll file the application on May 16th for particular projects.
Okay, I may have misunderstood that then. Okay. Then it was my misunderstanding.
So there'll be a whole other conversation with court, with county about those projects, specific projects. What's happening is that is the send button on that the plan on 17. They've already started a list of projects, but we want to come back to the county, obviously. But, you know, we'll be talking about specific projects, specific areas. And that's for the application. Plan's one thing. Plan's like an umbrella. Okay. The application will have specific projects in it. And they're starting to put those together. But you got to get the plan out of the little first.
All right. I apologize. I did misunderstand that. So.
Well, I wasn't sure I understood it.
Yeah.
That's just kind of what I thought.
Well, no.
And I was trying to follow the bouncing ball.
All right. So the 17th opens the window for pre-submission for safety action plan. We don't want the safety action plan submitted for pre-submission if we have not received all of our deliverables. That's kind of the trigger there. And then we are, you know, on a pretty tight window because then we're looking at, you know, having the list of projects compiled and submitted by May 16th. Couldn't get my dates right. So
another 30 days to get the projects in under the date we didn't talk about. USDOT will come back within 2 weeks of the time that we send that draft plan in. And they'll let NRS and the county know if there's any thing that they would like to see corrected or adjusted. And so we'll be working to get that tightened up, right? Because the plan goes in with the application.
Yep.
So there'll be several things happening in that 30 days. Once 17 April, she hits the send button on the draft plan. Within 2 weeks, we get feedback from Department of Transportation. During that time, we're compiling projects. So the plan comes back. If there's any adjustments to be made, we make those adjustments. Obviously, we need to be able to coordinate with the court here. And then also working through project list for application. There'll be a lot going on in that little short period.
Good.
Judge, that's the 15, 16, 17 is going to be it's going to be pretty busy there for us for a few days, or at least a couple of days. From the afternoon of the 15th, when we receive our draft plan, we don't have any commissioners court being scheduled until the 23rd, though, is the problem.
Right.
Me and Mr. Wood need some authority to review the provided plan, pull the trigger on payment, review the submission for the 17th for the pre-application submission, to get the trigger pulled on all that on the 16th and 17th. Let's support one to meet on the 16th or 17th and try to figure out a way to do that as a court. I don't have any doubt that Hannah's going to have something ready to deliver to file the send in for our safety action plan on the 16th or 17th, and then immediately file. The way I understand this pre-submission process is it's kind of like a notice of intent to bid or something. You know, it's like we are interested, we're planning on filing something. Here's our SS4A action plan that we've submitted and for them to review. I assume there's probably going to a different office at the same place. But it's a different bunch of people. So if there's a whole bunch of them that review review those things and get them in queue for the implementation grants. And I don't know how much they work together or don't, and we'll just have to flesh that out as we go. Very difficult, obviously, to court to be in that process when it'll be 2 weeks before y'all meet. That the ship's going to sail before then. So,
are you wanting to motion now?
Well,
with the bills, I have it set for the bills.
Oh,
which I'd like to at least, and I'm not volunteering anybody for this, but yes, I like that, Mr. Bell. Mr. Wood, I'd like the judge and Commissioner Matthews.
Yeah, Mr. Wood's going to be down part of that time. Okay.
But Commissioner Matthews, I think, you know, you've been in the beginning of this SS4A, yes. So you can be the representatives of the court, and I'd be perfectly fine if you guys determine the deliverables are done at that time to make it happen. But I think it's got it. We got to have some people from the court on there.
I think that's the appropriate thing to do. And then, because we're not at bills yet, but I think the release of that payment, it needs to be held within the auditor's office because the auditor is going to be gone, I believe, beginning Tuesday, the 16th. So we've got to take a little bit of preemptive action if we're going to meet our obligations as well as trying to meet timelines. But it would be based off of the release of that payment is based off of confirmation between, you know, designated individuals that deliverables have been met.
Okay. And then we'll just do the best we can to figure out the process for the 17th and the next until the 23rd. And I don't think we'll need anything on the agenda necessarily on the 23rd, because I don't know that we'll have heard back from them by the 23rd. And then by May, is it May 9th, our meeting, first meeting in May?
Thank you.
We're going to definitely need some assistance. No, it's May 14th.
May 14th.
Yeah, we're going to need to do something for May 14th because we're not going to know. I don't think we're going to know enough to do anything on 23rd, are we?
No, you got to think about that. If everything works and we got 2 weeks from the time we send it, they come back. And then we're going to want to talk about that. Plus, we're trying to get all the projects that y'all make sure the projects line up with what y'all want.
Yeah, so that's so that week of the 29th through May through April 29th through May 3rd. We may need to we can talk about that on the 23rd, Judge, but I mean I think y'all probably need to look at your calendars for the week of the 29th. Through the 3rd, so I don't think we can't wait till the 14th to talk about projects.
No, we can't. But I think based off of, depending on when we, you know, press the send button and what we hear back from USDOT, I would encourage everyone to keep both weeks April 29th through May 3rd, as well as May 6th through May 10th available, because I think that May 6th week is probably going to be, because we're pushing that 2 week timeline, maybe for them to be able to return.
Well, we're going to leave Hannah alone until the 16th or 17th. And after that, me and her will visit before the 23rd. We'll have a plan on the 23rd.
Okay. Okay. So out of all that, anticipate that we will have a special meeting sometime between April 29th and May 10th, prior to the regular May 14th meeting. That's
focused on project list, final revisions to the plan, that type of thing.
Yes. Okay. Ms. Jordan, anything else we need to cover under SS4A?
Nope.
Any questions for Ms. Jordan?
Yes, sir.
Hearing none. Okay, we'll move on to HMP, the Hazard Mitigation Plan. And I'm betting it's still somewhere between TEDM and FEMA.
You are correct. No new updates. It was sent to FEMA on March 21st. Hopefully we'll hear back soon, but I'll follow up with TEDM periodically.
It got lost in the eclipse. Okay. All right. Anything else under hazard mitigation plan? Okay. Moving on to RCP. There was a laundry list of deliverables, and I have sent those off to Ms. Thompson. There was the hazard mitigation plan, as well as our subdivision regulations. After our meeting, little workshop that we had with Mr. Mannix, that compiled list of things that we wanted introduced, to be addressed with the update of the subdivision regulations, as well as the last three remaining members of the steering committee. Commissioner Basham, I would ask, I never got contact information for Mr. Sullen. So after today's meeting, if you can give me that information so I can close out the loop on that. And we're still looking at, we're lining up four locations for meetings, either the week of the 29th or the week of the 6th for community involvement. Any other updates, questions concerning RCP?
Judge, I got a voicemail from someone looking for our flood plan administrator yesterday. Did up this voicemail. I haven't returned the call yet. But I think probably here over the next couple of meetings, court needs to consider professional resources for floodplain administration, especially amending or amend our floodplain order, which I think we probably should. It's been in place a long time with no revisions. And we've learned some things during that not been such aggressive and not current order. Yet, I'm assuming some kind of engineering firm, maybe one of the ones that we've talked to in the past. I know we've reached out to some regarding being our floodplain administrator. I'm not sure anybody had ever took on that. So,
I'll go back and look at the agreement that we had with MRB because we did a professional services agreement with them just on a pay-as-you-go basis. I believe that there was pricing in there. I'll go back and look at that.
I know we previously had an agreement with Mr. Bass, with Allison Bass, for subdivision regulation support. I think that's been about 4 or 5 years ago. I don't know if it at this point. It's been 3 years ago. I don't remember when the last time that was. I have not reached back out to him to get an updated engagement letter. Probably some official direction in that regard as well. Just so that if somebody will submit a reimbursement for this grant, that I've got documentation to back it up. And same thing with MRB, if they're going to support us on the engineering side, we probably need something just to document these. And if the rates are the same, that's wonderful. If they're but some kind of engagement letter, for lack of a better term, that's what a lawyer would call it, so I don't know what engineers call it, but something that we can put in our RCP folder to document that. We don't have to be secure to do that or the contract, we want to get something to document that we're engaging in under that agreement and these rates for these services for the RCP and put in RCP. So that when I send that reimbursement request in through the fiber system, so I've got something to document instead of just the invoice.
Is it Allison Bass and McGee? Is that?
I believe that's correct. I believe we're McGee is still a little, as far as I know.
Okay.
Who's after February?
Mr. Bell's concerns, I would move that the court authorize Mr. Belt, and this is under 8C for actions. I would move that the court authorize Mr. Belt to contact Allison Bass McGee for an updated engagement letter for review of subdivision regulations and authorize Mr. Belt to contact MRB Group for updated pricing and agreement for professional services related to floodplain management.
Thank you.
The motion is second. Any further discussion? Does that give you enough guidance, Mr. Bell?
Yes, sir.
Okay, very good. Any other discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed say no. Ayes have it. Motion carries. Anything else we need to cover under the RCP at this point? Okay, moving on to CDBG MIT. I think we had all been requested to contact the GLO's office. I know I signed a couple letters and got those sent off, and I haven't heard anything back from Ms. Finney since that point.
Does she, let me see. Not 30 this morning. She said, no. This is a good morning. I have completed a new application for the GLO mod. I'm having Ms. Langford take a look at it one more time for accuracy, and then I will submit. That's her communication from Murphy Green, as I had seen last week. They had, it was all these excuses, for lack of a better term, about why they had, well, we had to reach another application for the system, limitations on the system, changing the system. It's not supported anymore, and there goes using a new system in the future, and I've got some of that right. I can't remember all of it. But anyway, long story short, she's got ready to resubmit. She's fixed her home trigger, so it's like for the new system.
Okay. All right. Well, there you go.
Hot off the press.
Hot off the press. Okay, anything else we need to cover under CDBG MIT? Hearing none, item 8E is the Community Wildfire Protection Plan. Again, that application for implementation grant funding has been submitted. Ms. Jordan, have we heard anything back on that particular application?
No, we're still waiting for an update.
Okay, very good. Anything else that any court members have questions concerning grants? Any other grants that the court needs to consider discuss? All right, hearing none, that concludes our business for item number 8. Moving on to item number 9, update on construction projects.
We had a successful
This is the Commission on Jail Standards. You guys all got that. So we have passed. Courtney immediately went out to the parking lot, sent it to Director Wood, and we got passed that afternoon. So that was very, very good. I do understand, and I guess, Sheriff, there was a, you now have to do a TB test.
There's a plan in place for the TB. It should be finalized here in the next few days for the TB testing that's required now. And there was something along the line of the floor plan, realigning our floor plan to be more efficient with the addition, you know, to kind of get all of our females in one spot and all of our custody levels broken down like they should be. So we're looking this week to be completed with that.
Okay, good. This was the meeting on the 28th that we had. Brightspeed has approved moving their poles across the street. If you guys have seen the retaining walls have gone up, those three poles on the east side, Brightspeed's going to move them over to the other side. The Texas New Mexico Power, the power poles should be set by the end of April so we can get temp power and all that good going. So it was a very brief meeting on the 28th because we had the inspection. On 4/4/24, Butler Cone turned over the jail keys, and I know they're doing, going to be setting up, they haven't already done it, some training, all the manuals, all the spare parts, you know, anything and everything. And all of that has to be done before we approve their retainage. We've held back 5% retainage, you know, on that project, but everything else has been met and completed once they give us all our O&M manuals, and we can release that retainage. There was just a brief punch list. I think they're all, you know, door sign over the mechanical room, cleanup of the impound yard and water discharge, complete the items on the city checklist when they did their inspection, complete the staff training, which was a part of that. As-builts and closeout documents, and the visitation glass is not really on the list since we had a little problem with the phone systems. That's all, you know, done, but we're not going to do the visitation glass until the security company comes back for the annex. It'll just be a, that way we don't have to pay them for acceptance charge unless they come out for something else, then we can do it. Annex hot topics. Right-of-way permitting for an open trench and utility tie-in. We're working on that. We're working on some temporary water service and then, of course, the permanent power. And part of that is we're going to need approval from the city for an open trench to locate utilities, and we don't need a right-of-way permit. Texas New Mexico power design is done for permanent power and should be installed 1 month or earlier. So the first pole I talked about was temporary power, then the permanent power pole will be placed. I don't know if you guys have been down there. Man, they are they are cruising. I mean, all the electrical rough in, all of the plumbing rough in, got all the footers. You heard they should be pouring the slab like pretty quick.
Well,
that was told.
Yeah, part of the bank.
Yeah, okay. From the slab?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
But it may be, while they're moving it,
yeah.
Moving that up.
Yep. I mean, the retaining walls went up a lot faster than I thought. Yes. And that's all I have, Judge.
Okay. Very good. Thank you. Anything anyone else has for construction updates? Hearing none, we'll move on to item number 10, consider actions on items to support construction projects. Is there any actions that the court wishes to take under item number 10?
I guess the only action would be when it comes to releasing the retainage, would you guys like to, you know, review that, you know, make sure we're good on it before we release the retainage, or would you like to us to handle it like we've kind of done, as long as it's, you know, been under the constraints of the GMP, you know, and there's no overage, nothing like that.
I'd like to review those those documents before we, you know, release that last bit of it, because that's, I mean, once that's done, it's done.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, I give you guys these, you know, updates each month. You can kind of see where we are to budget. That was very, very good news about the Twin Caverns thing, because I was expecting the 23rd to be a pretty long court session with the Twin Caverns stuff. But I, at the request of Jeff Pupplefinger and Sean Butler, they're going to come in on the 23rd. And Judge, I'll work with you on the timing. At first, I thought it was going to be afternoon, because I thought Twin Caverns was going to take a lot. They want to do a full-blown review of the jail project, and then a look forward on the annex. And at that time, they'll be able to tell us what the savings on the jail is going to be, and how much, you know, that'll move over to the GMP on the annex. Well, you heard everything. But yeah, okay. So at that time, I think everything will be done. So they can send the pre-information, and then we can, you know, I guess, both lock it up and give them the retainage.
Okay, Ms. Newton, if you'd note that no action taken under item number 10, please. Item number 11, consider issuing request for qualifications, RFQ 2024-01, seeking professional preservation architectural firms for the development of a courthouse master plan. I believe Mr. Belt had previously emailed that out, and I believe this morning we got version 2 update.
Just basically, the only changes I recall making in this version, I previously put in there that there was going to be a form for the intent to respond. I changed that language to just have them send an email for their intent to respond, and the information that needs to be in that email, basically name, contact address, contact information. And that was the only substance of change. I may have fixed a couple of typos also, but that was the main change. Was changing, because previously I was going to make the form and attach, and I decided that won't fit, so it's changing.
I make motion to approve the RFQ 24-01, seeking professional preservation architectural firm for the development of a courthouse master plan.
Second.
We've got a motion to issue the RFQ from Commissioner Matthews, a second from Commissioner Taylor. Any further discussion on item number 11? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
I'm happy with the dates I put in there. I'm just going to make sure y'all seen that June 5th and 6th.
I saw the June 5th and 6th.
Okay, good deal. Just going to make sure.
I mean, I wasn't tickled to death about it, but I'm going to dive on my sword over it. I mean, but
this, I just some dates. This kind of has a schedule. Just pick some dates.
I didn't get mine in.
Okay. All those opposed say no. Ayes have it, motion carries. Item number 12, consider agreement with the GISD Police Department to purchase 3 patrol vehicles from the Sheriff Office fleet. Commissioner Matthews.
We had it on the agenda before. We talked about it. So then this morning that we've got to declare this equipment surplus or salvage. Wouldn't show them, can we use this now? The problem is I learned that we had to declare that equipment surplus or salvage first, and I was not aware of that. I do have an order written up. I don't know if anybody's willing to accept it or not, but
so that we're not. Prolonging this, dragging this out any more than what we need to. I don't think we can take action on the court order, given the verbiage of the agenda item. However, I am willing to sign that court order and have it ratified at our next commissioner's court meeting, whenever that is, so that we're not, again, prolonging this.
And I really think that it could. Because it's a sale to another entity, exempt from the competitive bidding requirements. But I don't know that based on the email that I saw, that we kind of talked about the price on a couple of them, but I didn't see anything on the other one. And I think we could do it all in one order if we knew all the details, you know, the perilous surplus property and finding that it was a, I think the board has to make some kind of finding to sell to a government entity without going through the competitive bid process. I can't remember the exact one control. I think we could put that all that in one order. We had all the details. But the purchase price, we are going to need the price in there. I would feel more comfortable if the order detailed how it came up with the price. However that was, if it was by the comparables or by talking to someone in the industry that really gave us a proposed price that we were in agreement with. I think that should just all be documented in the court orders for prosperity. I don't know anybody complain, but let them sell three. They belong to 2014 as a 10-year-old vehicles, but yeah. They could, so think about document all that. Make sure all
could we mind. Could we table this? And then I guess during our executive session, recess, Commissioner Matthews, you and Mr. Bell could get together and maybe draft that up, and then when we come back we could consider it. But
I kind of fine with tabling.
What?
I'm fine with tabling it.
Yeah, and then
but I've tried to put it together as quickly as I could once I learned it, but and evaluations were done off previous police sales.
We should document that.
Part of it was based upon the budget that they have to spend too. At the end of the day, I might get them out from underneath us. Sitting there, they're doing us no value. Bill, do you think you and Mr. Matthews get something? We give you a little time between our executive session. No? Okay.
No, this time we'll have them for lunch. No worries. We'll have an executive session call with the lawyers at 11. It's just not going to happen.
Okay.
I need to look at that statute to make sure I got all the language in there, right? For the waiver, lack of a better term, from the competitive bid requirements. And make sure we document the evaluation and how we come up with it. And just what's going to happen this morning, putting it away. Thanks.
Well, there's something we need to table today till next quarter.
For that special, for the special session we're doing.
Next available.
Yeah. I don't think we're in a position for this meeting to be able to take action. That is my statement.
Yep, we determined that.
All right, I make a motion to table them until the next available court date.
Second. We got a motion to table from Commissioner Matthews, second from Commissioner Basham. Any further discussion on item number 12? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed say no. I have motion carries. Item number 13, consider budget amendment to move funds within the capital improvement fund from the broadband to the building renovations to facilitate the tax assessor move and build out.
Judge, when I submitted the agenda items, I just want to kind of bring it up for submitted to discuss the contractor bids first. Then to consider the budget amendment, and I guess they got kind of move around. I mean, I don't know. Is there any validity to how we want to discuss this? We want to discuss.
I'm fine with however you want it.
Well, I think we should, you know, discuss what Mr. Crothers put together on the. So I would like to, Judge, with your permission, I'd like to go to do number 15 first and talk about. It's got the contractor bids for the build out. And it could have some bearing if somebody wanted to change the value of the proposed capital improvement thing.
Well, what's been presented is the amendment of 80,000.
Correct.
So that's the number to consider for this particular order is 80,000.
Okay.
I mean, we can discuss, you know, the contractor bids, but the action to be taken under 13 is whether we move 80,000.
Transparent, Judge.
Yeah, I mean,
people have their talk. We can allocate the money, and then we can talk about how whether in Mr. Taylor will administer it.
So at this point, we're still on number 13 to consider the budget amendment.
To approve the budget amendment for FY 2024, amendment number 4.
We got a motion from Commissioner Matthews to approve budget amendment number 4 in the amount of $80,000. And I heard a second over here, and a second from Commissioner Weddle. Any further discussion on item number 13? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed say no. I just have motion carries.
Judge, will you be signing that, or would you like
one of us? I sign those.
Okay. Thank you.
Item number 14, discuss the broadband evaluation report for Coryell County provided by the Foresight Group.
Judge, we had this on the last meeting, and something did, when we started talking about the broadband technology fund, I was thinking, I wasn't on the court at the time, I was like, man, we had this whole study done. And I don't know, I can't get in your brain and don't know why. I mean, I asked you, did we ever receive that report? And you said no. So I sent an email to Foresight and said, hey, how come we never received the report? Well, apparently, as you guys see, it was sent to us on 6/23/23. So now we have the report. I think the opportunity that we missed, though, was in their email, they said they wanted to come in and give us a full-blown presentation. I don't know if they're still willing to do that almost a year later. But I'm happy that we because what kind of worried me was we had paid $249,000 and something dollars, the last bill being $48,000 for completion, and none of us had seen a report yet. And that kind of scared me. But we have the report. Everybody got a copy, right?
I do, yes, sir.
Now we can start reviewing it and decide what we're going to do with it. And that was really all I had. I just want to make sure we got our hands on this report. Now, I guess we can take a look at it and decide what we're going to do with it. There's a lot of information in there.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Is that all you had?
Yes, sir. That's all I got.
Anyone else have any comments concerning item number 14?
I do, but I'm going to keep them to myself.
Okay. Item number 15, discuss contractor bids for the build out of Main Street Annex relocation of the tax assessor office.
Put this on with the request of Mr. Carruthers. The last time he came in here, we talked. He had our maintenance guys doing some of the electrical work. I think we all agreed that we felt like we needed to get a local licensed electrician to do that. He reached out to Circle R. So they've added their bid in there. And as you can see, total new construction is $48,481. IT move of the tax office network, $14,350. And if there's anything we learned from the expansion of the jail, but you better have a little contingency built in there. Thus is why the $80,000 was being moved over. Mr. Carruthers, I know you have reached out to the city. I know I talked to him, and then you've talked to Miguel about permitting, and we're good there.
Yeah, we don't actually have it yet, but it's just going to be a local permit so that the fees will be minimal. You didn't give me the actual number, but I don't expect to be very much because they're not going to use their
the group outside.
Right.
Yeah. Awesome. And it should be pretty quick then, also.
Yes, I would. Yeah. I would say this.
Is there any other discussion?
Here we go. It's an update.
So we have an idea when we're going to start the project?
No, we're waiting on.
No, I don't think so.
As soon as the permit issued, we'll reach out to Mr. It'll be his, when he can start.
Yeah.
Okay. Item number 16, pay bills. We've had bills presented in the amount of $1,596,447.76. And again, I would remind the court that that does include an invoice for the final invoice with our vendor, NRS, for services under the SS4A Safety Action Plan development.
I would make the motion to pay the bills, but holding the checks for the SF4A action plan until the review by the county attorney myself for the completion of the plan and application.
We've got a motion to pay bills with the annotated holding of that one particular check. Motion from Commissioner Matthews. Second was from Commissioner Taylor. Is that correct?
Yes.
I get that. Any further discussion on paying bills? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed say no. Ayes have it. Motion carries. Mr. Bell, I'm sorry that I didn't plan the timeline any better than I did. We will go ahead and cover reports, but what I will tell the court, as soon as we're through with reports, we will recess until 11 to cover executive session. I don't think it's going to take us 54 minutes to do reports. It could. It could, but, I don't
talk pretty soon.
I don't think we are. So
we also have 20 to discuss. We could go into executive session and start down
20 and then transition into our 11 o'clock call under number 19 with our visit with our attorneys.
I missed the mark. I've been missing the mark all weekend. Okay, so with that, let's pick up reports. Commissioner Matthews.
I hope everybody had a good time with the cliff. I'm glad there was no real incident here in Oreo County. Be with that family that lost a loved one over there in Burnett during that event. There's a gentleman that 67 years old that had a seizure. I don't know where he was from, but they did have a death. Actually, they canceled their festival. So, prayers with that family. And That's all I got.
Mr. Weddle.
Eclipse. I guess my only thought about that was just amazing how influential that the media can be. Mm. That the weatherman, it's going to be a washout, it's going to be horrible, it's going to be whatever. And I think it really impacted, from what I saw, really impacted the number of people that came here, whether that's good or bad. I'm sure our vendors would say it's bad. Some people would probably say it was good. But yeah, isn't that amazing? I mean, they just said that. And I don't know about you guys, but the sky opened up beautifully and, we were able to visualize, all of it. And it shows you how the media naysayers sometimes can impact what we do in our lives. Commentary. All I got.
Okay. Thank you, Commissioner Bashman.
Hope everybody had a good eclipse. I'm sure you're listening to that rain outside right now. And Saturday, we're having the Corio County Go Texan Scholarship Fundraiser at Dean Smith's for kids. Scholarship through Corio County. If anybody's interested, I've got some tickets. That's all I've got.
Thank you, Commissioner. Commissioner Taylor.
I really don't have anything today.
Very good. Okay, I'll run down a quick recap of solar eclipse and operations. We conducted the Emergency Operations Center. We stood it up at noon on Sunday and ran that continuously until 1600 yesterday afternoon. We had that about 10 volunteers from our Corio County communications group that were monitoring the radios. We had direct communications with the state the entire time. We're monitoring the Civil Air Patrol flights that ran twice a day for that time period. And it was happy to report that there were no incidents that would have met the criteria for being some type of emergency. That exceeded the capabilities of the county overall, cities as well as county assets, to be able to respond to. You got several good reports from citizens that were pleased with the law enforcement presence. So, Sheriff, I appreciate the extra effort that y'all put into it, as well as the city of Gatesville and the city of Coppers Cove. I'll be honest with you, when I looked at numbers, and it said anywhere from 2,000 to 200,000. There is no single plan that you can come up with. So the plans that were implemented, I thought were appropriate at the appropriate levels. And with that, I do want to say thank you again to Roden Bridge. They provided us with a transfer tank and about 750 gallons of gasoline to have on hand in the event that we would have run into a shortage, as well as emergency cones that we got over there for you. And Sheriff, what I would ask that over the next few days, if you could coordinate with Roden Bridge, we need to get rid of that gasoline. And it's going to take him about probably 6 or 8 months to get rid of that at just his fleet rate. So I've got that funding covered under emergency management. So it doesn't, that'll be taken care of. But if y'all can, as much as possible, try to coordinate daytime hours of filling up with Roden Bridge, that would help us purge those fuel gallons. Mr. Latham, I hope I'm not throwing you under the bus there. I didn't coordinate that with you, but I that's the best solution I can come up with to get your tank emptied. We are still under the declaration of local disaster. So we are under a no burn order until 6 o'clock tonight, and also oversized loads that are permitted from TxDOT. Those are still prohibited in the county until 6 o'clock tonight. There are no additional provisions that extend beyond that. So that order in itself expires just on its own next Saturday morning. But it is no longer a burn ban or any of these other provisions. All those were specified time periods in the order. I want to touch on, I hadn't talked about the Belcore Regional Habitat Conservation Plan in a while. I gave y'all an updated timeline. Again, this is the Regional Habitat Conservation Plan to address endangered species, as well as creating a system where we have permits, take permits based off of preserving habitat within the Bell County and Coryell County regional areas. They are still in, we're kind of between, there's multiple phases going on, but under phase two, we are basically in the task 3.1 and 3.2 area. And in phase three, they are starting task 1.1 as well as 1.2. So some of these things are going on concurrently, but I just want to kind of keep you in the loop of where we are. They've identified, preliminarily identified seven species that they need to be, they believe need to be listed. Three of those are aquatics, they're mussels. And the others, they're still kind of gathering information on. But once they get that list finalized, I'll present that information to you so you'll have that updated. But
when do you think they're going to have that list of species?
Mr. I don't think it's going to be until the fall, really, because different environmentalists have different opinions. And so within the vendor that we have acquired, they're having discussions as to which ones that may not necessarily be on the endangered list, but they're on the critical list or whatever. That's what they're trying to kind of hash out.
Before, when they were having their preliminary meetings, there was talk about 20-something, because they were going to include in our plan those that were on the watch list, so that if they ended up getting on the, not necessarily on the list, but on the, I can't remember what they call it now, kind of the preliminary list, interesting, but they may be species of interest. I can't remember what U.S. Coast Guard is. That they would already be in our plan, we would have to go back and modify our plan to include those. Have they had any more of those discussions?
I think that's part of the opinions on, and that's why I said seven. I think that they're really, I mean, like the monarch butterfly is going to be on there.
You've got the butterfly, I'm sure the black cap vireo, and the warbler, even though they delisted the black cap vireo, it's still on the, you know, watch list. And then you got the, of course, the three mussels that they've been talking about for years. That's five. And you got salamander, and there's a couple of them rascals. And then you got the karst. I mean, you're over seven already. So I don't know. That's what I'm concerned about. Concerned about them limiting the list to a small number when we know that there are a bigger number on U.S. Fish's radar. If we don't include them in our plan to begin with, we have to go back and modify them later. It's just this vendor's next opportunity to modify our plan.
And that's where I think they're internally with the vendor is those discussions. Is, you know, you're correct. We had this list of about 23 to 25, something like that. And that was throwing the net wide. And now they're going back, and I think rather than eliminating those species, what they're doing is confirming the species as they work through it. So they've confirmed seven, and I think they're still going through the process of vetting each one to say, you know.
They're still working on that.
Yes, it's not that, it's just seven. We're not there yet. Seven is what they have confirmed that will be on the list.
So one thing that I don't know and that I'd like for them to address is, so they, I don't know how detailed they have to have these habitat models for the included species in our list, in our habitat conservation plan list. I would think that there would be a way to put the ones of maybe that we don't know for sure what they're going to do with or when they're going to do it on the list in our habitat conservation plan and just have a general description in our plan of the model that we're going to use to address those if and when we had to. And then the ones that, of course, are already listed, we're going to have a detailed plan on those, like salamander, for example. I don't know. I'm just curious how, if they've talked much about how they're going to address that, what their thought process is, or if that's what they're still kind of thinking about working through. But it looks like they're going to have something kind of ready by the summer.
In our last meeting, we did go over modeling. Okay. And from a hydrological standpoint, they are using a state-based model. And that's going to deal with surface water as well as groundwater. So they're just going to go with base data that the state uses because we had some concerns about, you know, potentially some of the studies that we might be involved in might come up with some different, you know, modeling outcomes. And we've talked with them about that. But I think right now they're still going to use the state data. So that's for the aquatics. They didn't really, I mean, they kind of talked to us about what the modeling plan is for the ground and the air stuff. And I can get you a copy of that slide. But I think they've got the basic processes down. It's just the data collection that they've got to do now to filter into those models. And they'll run those for every species that we have.
So when they start talking about past two, and they start talking about take estimates and that kind of stuff, I'd like to know when they have those meetings.
I'll be happy to send that over to you.
I don't trust them. I do not trust fish, so.
Surprisingly, I don't know, maybe I'm just getting it from, you know, my perspective, but fish has been very accommodating to us up to this point. I mean,
Now,
you know, this plan isn't going to be finalized, you know, until if you look at your overall last page, we're talking about 2027. There are a lot of days and a lot of weeks between now and 2027. So whereas we may have a very cooperative representative from the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Department at this point, that may not be the case in 2027.
But the next steering committee is March the 20th, and their coordinating committee that these docs came from is the 27th. Looking at the agenda.
Yeah, that's what we just got through having. March 20th and 27th, those meetings.
It is, sorry.
Yeah, sorry, that's sorry. The ones that have just passed. So, but we have not gotten into preliminary take in that meeting. So I will keep you updated because there are some developments going on with the Regional Habitat Conservation Plan. My next one is Distracted Driver Awareness Month. This is a new resolution that was passed by the Clean Temple Metropolitan Planning Organization as well as CITCOG because there is a concerted effort. I forget what the state slogan is, but basically they want to eliminate traffic deaths by 2050. You know, we've set a mark on the wall under our SS4A of we want to be zero traffic fatalities by 2030, I think, or 2035, something. We've got a date on ours. You know, it was interesting in some of the information that NRS has provided us. The statistics indicate that some level of distracted driving, if you remove alcohol and drug impairments, there's some level of distracted driving that is apparent in almost every fatal accident outside of that one group. And so I think it's worth noting that there is concerted effort within the region. Not that there's any action for the court to take, other than I would appreciate that y'all be supportive. Noting that there was, the death in Burnett, we also lost an individual on the U.S. Highway 190 bypass yesterday on a motorcycle accident. So we still are having roadway fatalities in Coryell County, whether they're our residents or not. We're still having those fatalities, and ultimately that's our goal, or should be our goal, to eliminate those. And I do believe that distracted driving is going to be, a key element. We went a long time without cell phones. Most of those phone calls can wait that extra 5 or 6 minutes till we get to wherever we need to get to or pull over. So I just wanted to make you aware of that. And then one on a congratulatory note, I want to say thank you publicly to Ms. Newton and her crew. Y'all may not realize it, but Judge Lee and I have had a concerted effort since we have gotten this probate and guardianship clerk to clean up a bunch of old files. And some of these files are going back to the 90s of trying to locate individuals that were either guardians or they were wards. Cases weren't closed out, things that Judge Lee and I have a personal liability of. To date, I've cleared about 20 cases. And I'll tell you, that didn't happen just because of me. So Ms. Newton, I appreciate all y'all are doing to support us. And it reduces the county's liability. It reduces our personal liability. And it speaks well for the actions of the court and what our departments do to support us behind the scenes. Because you're not going to see that on the front page of the Gatesville newspaper. But I felt it's important that y'all understand what some of the investments y'all have made into these departments are doing for us. So thank you. And that's all I've got for the judge's report. So we do have two items to discuss in executive session. Pursuant to Texas Government Code Section 551.071, the Commissioner's Court will conduct a closed meeting to consult with the county attorney regarding pending litigation and a matter subject to attorney-client confidentiality. Mr. Belt, is there anything under the Purdue Pharma that we need to address? So it will be strictly another matter subject to attorney-client confidentiality. And pursuant to Texas Government Code Section 551.072, the Commissioner's Court will conduct a closed meeting to conduct deliberations regarding the purchase, exchange, lease, or value of real property. Coming out of that executive session, there will be no action to take under item number 21. There may be action to take under items number 22 and 23. So let's take just a few minutes. 10:40. Does that give everybody enough time if we reconvene at 10:40? About 15 minutes, we'll break there because I think we're in the front conference room for a while. So with that, we reconvene at 10:40 in the front conference room. We are in recess. Okay, I've got 12:11. We will reconvene in open session. Again, there is no action, no item, or no action to be taken on item number 21. Picking up with item number 22, which is to consider an offer to purchase county-owned properties located at 113 and 115 South 7th Street in Gatesville. Is there any action that the court wishes to take on item number 22? Hearing none, Ms. Newton, if you will note for item number 22, no action taken. Picking up with item number 23, which is to consider actions necessary to list county-owned property located at 201 North Ludlow, Gatesville, Texas, for sale pursuant to Texas Local Government Code Section 263.008. Is there any action that the court wishes to take on item number 23? Hearing none, Ms. Newton, if you will note under item number 23, no action taken. That concludes the business of the court today. We stand adjourned. Thank you.